Tonight, on the eve of Thanksgiving, authorities are on the scene of yet another deadly mass shooting in America. The terror inside a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia. A store manager accused of killing at least six people, then taking his own life. A survivor describes in chilling detail how the suspect walked into the break room, opening fire without saying a word, shooting at everything that moved, a bullet whizzing right by her. But we're now learning about the killer and his victims. Jay O'Brien is in Virginia. And the first court appearance for the suspect accused of shooting and killing five people at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. The suspect slumped in a chair with injuries to the face and head. And what we're now learning about a disturbing Facebook post from the suspect's mother just hours before the shooting. Matt Gutman in Colorado. The Thanksgiving travel rush as we come on the air. 55 million people on the move this holiday. Travel numbers close to pre-pandemic levels. Gio Benitez on America's crowded airports. Rob Marciano is tracking two systems over the Thanksgiving weekend. The Department of Justice is now asking to question former Vice President Mike Pence about the January 6th attack on the Capitol, how Mike Pence is responding. The war in Ukraine, Russia unleashing a new barrage of missile strikes, an explosion destroying a maternity ward, killing a child who was just 2 days old. Millions are now without power in major cities, including the capital of Kyiv. News tonight about the brutal killings of four students from the University of Idaho. Authorities getting emotional before the cameras just a short time ago. The new protest at the World Cup, the team that sent a poignant message without uttering a single word. And America Strong, the two families giving thanks for two life-saving gifts this Thanksgiving.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this busy Wednesday night. I'm Lindsay Davis in for David. It has happened again. This time, the terror rang out inside a Walmart store in Chesapeake, Virginia. An all-too-familiar scene playing out across this country, another community now reeling on the eve of Thanksgiving. Authorities say a gunman armed with a handgun walked into the store and opened fire, killing six people before killing himself. One victim was found at the front of the store, at least two victims found dead in the break room. The gunman is said to be a store manager. Police arrived just 2 minutes after the first 911 call and entered the store 2 minutes later. Walmart has identified Andre Bing as the suspected shooter. We're now hearing from a survivor who'd only worked at the store for 2 months and claims that she was told he had problems with coworkers. The shooting at Walmart comes on the heels of the mass nightclub shooting in Colorado Springs, where five people were killed, and the deadly shooting at the University of Virginia, where three members of the football team lost their lives 10 days ago. There have been more than 600 mass shootings in the U.S. this year, averaging more than one mass shooting a day. ABC's Jay O'Brien leads us off tonight from Chesapeake.
Tonight, the chilling survivor's account of the moment a Walmart store manager opened fire, killing six people just 2 days before Thanksgiving. Brianna Tyler, who works at the store, tells me the gunman, identified as 31-year-old Andre Bing, fired into a break room during a staff meeting at the start of the overnight shift.
Did he say anything?
No, he said nothing at all.
He
just started shooting. He did not say a word. He didn't look at anyone specific. He didn't point. He literally just put the gun up and just started shooting aimlessly at anything and everything that was moving in the room.
A bullet whizzing by her.
It just missed you.
Yeah, it had just missed me. Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. Couple inches in the other direction.
Yeah, couple of inches.
Brianna, only on the job at Walmart 2 months, thought it all might be a drill.
I froze. I just stood there, not realizing what was going on. I'm looking at everybody dropped down on the floor.
But then she realized what was happening.
The moment I looked over at my friend, and she was slumped over, her eyes were closed, and there was blood just gushing out of her neck. That's when it kicked in for me, and I was like, oh, this is real. I was like, I have to run. And that's literally all I thought of. And he went in one direction, and I just went in the other, and I was just praying the entire time I was running was, I hope he's not behind me.
Brianna says the gunman then moved into the store, still shooting.
Respond to District 402, 1521 Sam Circle at the Walmart for a gunshot wound.
Police say when they arrived minutes later, the gunman had already taken his own life. Tonight, the city releasing the names and faces of five of his victims, Lorenzo Gamble, Brian Pendleton, Kelly Pyle, Randall Blevins, and Tanika Johnson. A sixth victim has not yet been publicly identified because he was only 16 years old. In the hospital tonight, seven people now recovering, one of them 24-year-old Jalen Jones, another Walmart employee, his mother describing his escape.
He thought he was going to die. It was a moment where he just had, you know, you have blackouts and you feel like you're just leaving, but he just kept going.
Authorities say the gunman was armed with a handgun and several magazines of ammunition. In a statement, Walmart said Bing had worked for the company since 2010.
This is a horrendous event. It's a horrendous, senseless act of violence.
And tonight, these somber words from President Biden. There are now even more tables across the country that will have empty seats this Thanksgiving. There are now more families who know the worst kind of loss and pain imaginable.
Just unbearable pain. Jay O'Brien joins us now from Chesapeake, Virginia. Jay, any word about a possible motive?
Lindsay, that's the question hanging over investigators here tonight. What could have led to this? Brianna Tyler describes that manager, Andre Bing, as the kind of boss that employees had to watch out for, someone who often clashed with coworkers, someone that employees didn't go up to speak to unless they had to. But she says she never expected him to do something like this. Lindsay?
Right, the unexpected there for sure. Jay, thank you. The U.S. is currently grappling with multiple gun tragedies happening so close together. There are new details tonight in the LGBTQ nightclub shooting in Colorado Springs. The suspect made their first court appearance today, expected to face murder and hate crime charges for allegedly killing five people. The city paying tribute to the five victims, unfurling a historic 25-foot-long pride flag at City Hall. Just hours before the shooting, the suspect's mother posted a chilling message on Facebook. ABC's chief national correspondent Matt Gutman is in Colorado Springs.
Tonight, the alleged killer in the Colorado nightclub massacre appearing in court one day after being released from the hospital. 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich seen via video conference slumped over in a chair. You can see the injuries to the face and head.
Could the defendant please state his name?
Anderson Aldrich.
The suspect facing charges for first-degree murder and hate crimes.
D. Allen, was there a concern that he wouldn't be physically competent for today's hearing?
He was slumped over. There was nothing communicated to me that he would be physically incompetent to be here today, to participate in this process.
During the shooting, the suspect tackled by Rich Fierro.
There was a pistol in the ground or in his hand, and at some point, we both went for it, and I got it. And then I used it as any tool you would find.
Court documents submitted by the defense team stating that Aldrich is non-binary and uses they, them pronouns.
Did you know that the suspect considers themselves non-binary?
I personally don't believe that to be true, just because of, you know, who I knew Andy to be. I'm just not buying it.
Xavier Krause was his friend and neighbor. He told me he heard Aldrich make homophobic remarks and that the suspect showed him their guns.
And that's when, you know, he told me it's not the guns that you got to be afraid of, it's the people.
Krause providing this video to ABC News showing the suspect firing an AR-style rifle at a shooting range. The video posted to TikTok by Aldrich's mother with the hashtag fun at the shooting range. And overnight, ABC News obtaining this chilling Facebook post from the suspect's mother, seemingly concerned about her son's whereabouts in the hours before the shooting, saying, "My son is missing. He took my phone and my debit card. We had plans, and we were so excited." She ends by saying her son told her, "Get ready to have the best night ever."
Love beats hate!
And today at the Colorado Springs City Hall, hundreds gathering, an historic pride flag unfurled in remembrance of the five victims.
Lindsay, the DA says he plans to bring formal charges at the next hearing. That's on December 6th. Now, he told me he has no plans to offer a plea deal here, but that means it could be a very long road for the victims and their families. He doesn't see this going to trial for two more years. Lindsay.
Wow. Matt, our thanks to you. Across the country tonight, millions of people are on the move ahead of Thanksgiving, the busiest Thanksgiving week in 3 years. 55 million people expected to travel over the holiday. After a summer of flight delays and cancellations, the airlines now face a new challenge for the crush of passengers. ABC's Jill Benitez covers transportation.
Tonight, day two of packed airports across America. The number of passengers expected to come very close to pre-pandemic levels. Airports jammed with people from Chicago to Los Angeles.
Traffic was tough. Going through the airport was very tough. So a lot of traffic, a lot of people.
And in St. Paul, Minnesota, long lines at the checkpoint.
Typically, I come at this time when I fly out, and there's not this amount of people. Usually, you breeze right through.
American, United, and Delta expected to serve a combined 18 million customers this holiday. Roads seeing some of the busiest traffic, with nearly 49 million expected to drive. And while gas prices are falling, AAA says the $3.63 national average for a gallon is still the most expensive Thanksgiving week average on record.
I mean, what else can we do? You know, I mean, you have to travel. You have to get from point A to point B.
Americans willing to fight the crowds and their budgets if it means getting away for Thanksgiving.
It tells us that despite the inflation, despite the high gas prices, people are still wanting to reconnect with their friends and their family and their loved ones.
And Lindsay, if you're getting on the road tonight, go ahead and wait until after 8 p.m. Tomorrow before 11 a.m. or after 6, just in time for Thanksgiving dinner. Lindsay.
Hopefully people can plan accordingly. Gio, thank you. Many keeping a close eye on the skies during the holiday. We're tracking two systems over the long weekend. Let's get right to ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Lindsay, pretty quiet tonight, but that changes quickly tomorrow to where nearly everybody will get some weather problems at some point this weekend. Look at the maps, and we'll show you it's pretty easy going on the interstates and airports tonight, but a winter storm watch is up for parts of Texas. That energy coming out of Denver might see some snow, but Dallas to Houston, thunder and lightning potentially across I-10 during the day. Tomorrow, that pushes into the east. Most of the east seeing some sort of rain on Friday, but that second system you mentioned, that one's a little bit stronger. That brings another round of rain and thunder for Dallas along I-20 getting across the Mississippi. That pushes into the northeast on Sunday. Looks to be mostly rain from Chicago to New York, but all these interstates will have some slick spots, certainly, as we wrap up this holiday weekend. Lindsay?
All right, Rob, thanks so much. The Justice Department's investigation of the January 6th attack on the Capitol is now turning toward former Vice President Mike Pence. Sources tell ABC News federal prosecutors want to question him about attempts by former President Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election. The former VP, of course, was at the Capitol during the attack and told David about defying President Trump's efforts to block certification of the electoral ballots. The former VP is said to be considering the DOJ's request. Overseas now to the war in Ukraine, where the capital city of Kyiv is now in the dark. Russia unleashing a new barrage of 70 missiles across the country today, targeting power plants and residential neighborhoods, leaving civilians without heat or electricity in the brutal cold. A newborn killed when a maternity ward was destroyed. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Kyiv for us.
Tonight, horror in southeastern Ukraine. Crews rushing to pull survivors from the rubble of a deadly Russian strike on a maternity hospital. A doctor and a new mother rescued, but tragically, her baby, born just 2 days ago, did not survive, according to authorities. The hospital destroyed. Officials say 75 missiles and drones rained down across Ukraine today, one of the largest barrages since the start of the war, killing at least 10 people and injuring dozens more, while crippling the country's already damaged power grid. Millions without electricity in below freezing temperatures across a majority of the country, including the capital of Kyiv, where a missile hit this residential building, killing at least 5 people. Firefighters working into the night to look for survivors.
It is just an awful scene here. You can see the ceiling of this residential building has been destroyed, and rescue crews using a ladder to search for anyone who may be trapped in the rubble.
16-year-old Vitaly rushed to the scene and tonight is still anxiously looking for his friend and a teacher who lived in the building.
Have you been able to reach your friend or teacher?
No.
Okay. What have you been doing to try to reach them?
I called, I write, wrote.
Okay. You know, you're worried about them.
Yeah.
Lindsay, tonight, limited power has been restored to most of the country, but still, millions of people have no electricity right now or water. And it does seem that Russia's attempts to demoralize the population here is only seeming to further ignite some Ukrainians' will to fight, as the United States has announced another $400 million military aid package that includes long-range artillery equipment and ammunition. Lindsay.
That helped not a moment too soon. Marcus, thank you. News tonight about a deadly terror attack in the Middle East. Two explosions reported in Jerusalem. Israeli police are calling it a coordinated attack. A teenager killed, 18 people wounded. Both blasts were located near bus stops during morning rush hour. Authorities are now searching for other possible devices. It's the first such attack there in more than a decade. Back here at home, growing frustration and worry over the unsolved murders of 4 students from the University of Idaho. Authorities were back before the cameras today confirming they're looking at reports about a possible stalker, but revealing very little new information about a possible suspect. Here's ABC's Kena Whitworth.
Tonight, police investigating the murders of four college students, revealing why they've been looking into reports one of the victims had a stalker.
We obtained information through some of our interviews that Kaylee had made some comments about a stalker, so that's where that came from.
The family of Kaylee Gonzalez says they're not aware of any stalker, but police are still investigating those tips.
So far, we have not been able to corroborate it, but we're not done looking into that piece of information.
Authorities maintain this was a targeted attack, but won't say why. And now, 10 days after the murders, the Gonzalez family worries the answers might be slipping away.
If you look statistically at homicide cases, those first 10 days are so incredibly important in finding a suspect. That's not very encouraging to hear that they want to cast this wide net of suspects now.
This tight-knit community shattered.
Moscow's my home. And I know we won't be defined by tragedy, but how we respond to it.
And Lindsay, while authorities don't have a timeline for those DNA results, police tell me they remain a top priority at the state lab. Lindsay.
Kana, thank you. When we come back, saved from the rubble, a child rescued days after a devastating earthquake, and two families giving thanks for two life-saving gifts this Thanksgiving.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Next tonight, a remarkable story of survival. A child rescued from the rubble after a devastating earthquake in Indonesia. A search team found the six-year-old boy trapped beneath his collapsed home for more than 2 days. At least 271 people were killed when the 5.6 magnitude quake hit on Monday. With heavy monsoon rains moving in, rescue efforts are now on hold. Back here in the U.S., the Food and Drug Administration is speaking out about reports of a shortage of common antibiotics in some lung medications. The agency says there are supply issues involving the oral version of amoxicillin and certain forms of the inhaler albuterol. However, the FDA says it's not aware of any shortages of Tamiflu or its generic versions. To the index now, a violent clash between police and protesters at the largest Apple iPhone factory in China. Hundreds of employees confronted by riot police, some in hazmat suits. Protesters are demanding better pay and working conditions. Back here at home, charges have been filed against seven Michigan State football players in connection to a post-game brawl. Authorities are reviewing video of the fight, which allegedly shows several MSU players assaulting at least one player from rival Michigan. One MSU player has been charged with a felony. The other six are facing misdemeanor charges. No Michigan players were charged. At the World Cup in Qatar, a silent yet powerful statement on the field. Before their opening match today, Germany's players held their hands over their mouths in protest of FIFA's rule barring players from wearing colorful One Love armbands and rejecting Qatar's human rights record. The match turned into a tough loss for Germany. Japan beat them 2-1. And the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is returning to its full pre-pandemic form. The event featuring dozens of floats, balloons, and marching bands. More than 3 million people are expected to line the streets of New York City tomorrow And of course, Santa Claus will be there as well. Finally tonight, America Strong, the two families giving thanks, celebrating the gift of life twice. Tonight, meet the Thompsons and the Moraleses, two families who are extra grateful this Thanksgiving. Debbie Thompson and Chris Morales have been best friends since elementary school in Westminster, California, inseparable, cheerleading together in high school.
We got married a year apart.
Yeah, we've just done everything together. It's just, where's one?
For sure.
In 2015, Chris received the devastating news that she needed a kidney. Her best friend didn't hesitate.
I said, well, you can have mine. I mean, it was never even
just
a thought.
Like that.
She'd make a full recovery and is now healthy. But what happened next, neither couple could have imagined. 7 years later, Chris's husband, Ron, was in renal failure, and now he needed a kidney too.
He was in the emergency room, and we just couldn't believe it because I already went through kidney failure, and then now he's going through kidney failure.
Then the call from their friends, the Thompsons, that would change their lives again.
He says, do you need a kidney? And it took me a couple of seconds because I was in awe, and I was like, well, yeah, you know, I do.
Look at you go.
Ron's surgery, just like his wife's, was a success. Both were at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles.
Thank you for everything you do for
Ron, just in case.
Words can't explain how I feel. Want to let him know that I'll always be there for him for what he's done for me.
Tonight, the Moraleses grateful.
This Thanksgiving, we are so grateful and happy, and we just, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, Debbie and Brett, for the gift of life.
Debbie and Brian going above and beyond, quite the gift. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. Hope to see you right back here tomorrow. For David and all of us, good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.